one day. A blessed good morning to you, and welcome to the Because He Lives radio program. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Kizia Ford. I'm a member of the Western Light Church of the Nazarene, and I will be your host for today's program. We thank you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in this morning. And to open us up, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to share your message via this program. Lord, we pray that everything that will be said and will be done to your honor and to your glory, and that those who are listening will be encouraged to continue to serve you wholeheartedly. All these things I ask in your Son's name with thanksgiving. Amen. We also want to thank our sponsors, Federal Motor Spares and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District, for continuing to sponsor this broadcast. We would not be able to do it without their assistance, and we are truly grateful for them. We pray that God's blessings will be upon them as well. I have a few announcements before we dive into today's program. Today, October the 13th, we will be having our district family service at the Kalamarok Church of the Nazarene. Our district family service is set to begin at 9:30 a.m. and all are welcome. Whether you are a Nazarene or a non-Nazarene, all of you are welcome to join with us in worship. This time is a special one for us. It's leading up to the centennial anniversary of the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. And as a result, we've created a bit of a jingle for you, a special jingle. And we'd like to share that jingle with you at the service. So ensure that you are there. You have a few hours to decide and to make your preparations so that you can join with us in the congregation there at the Kalamarok Church of the Nazarene. Additionally, the Eversley Foundation will be having a special fundraising luncheon at the Coconut Court Hotel on November 3rd. That is a Sunday, so you can mark it on your calendars. They'll be having a special fundraising luncheon on the 3rd of November at the Coconut Court. Now, the price of lunch for an adult will be $100, and for children, it will be $50. So you have some time, you can feel free to put aside your funds, do a little saving if you must, and ensure that you can be part of that special fundraising luncheon. Remember, the Eversley Foundation was founded by Doctors Margaret and Schofield Eversley, two veterans and stalwarts within the Church of the Nazarene. And the work of their foundation is not only first and foremost to spread the gospel of Christ, but also they have been given back to a number of communities around the island. And we as fellow Nazarenes want to assist them in carrying out God's work and doing the various activities and initiatives that will help to better our communities around Barbados as well. October is the month that we have designated in the Church of the Nazarene to celebrate our laity. Who are they? Those refer to the regular persons, just like you and I, who may not have been called to pastoral ministry, but they're very much believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And as such, each of them have a calling as well. Each of them are ministers, and they have chosen to put their hands to the plow to serve in the very many ministries that we have across the Church of the Nazarene. And today, our message is going to be brought by a member of the laity, a woman of God. Now, our speaker's name is Mrs. Jennifer Graves, and she hails from the Fairview Church of the Nazarene. Now, Jennifer has a passion for working with the children and for evangelism, and as such, she has been led by God to work with the NDI ministry. Some of you may know this ministry as the Sunday School Ministry, and she has been working with the NDI both locally at her church. She first started at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene, and she's now serving at the Fairview Church of the Nazarene as well. And she has worked with the NDI ministry at both of these churches. And beyond that, she has also served on the NDI District Board for 10 years. So she is no stranger to ministry, and she will be sharing with us our word today.
Good morning, listeners. Thank you so much, Sister Kezia, for your kind introduction. And I, too, wish to welcome all you listeners to today's Because He Lives broadcast. We are always grateful and appreciative when you can join us. May God honor the time spent, and may His Holy Spirit release into your individual atmosphere words of comfort, encouragement, or words that will manifest change in your lives. Today, for a brief moment, we're going to take a look into the journey of the Israelites out of Egypt. And all of you will say, yes, this is a familiar encounter. I believe that these accounts have been given to us as reminders of God's power to accomplish what He says, and also as lessons to show us what happens when we disobey. A famous Spanish-American philosopher said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." Simply put, if we don't learn from other people's mistakes, we are likely to make those same mistakes ourselves. That's why it should be our daily habit of studying the Bible to ensure that we learn from the examples contained therein, men and women of God, and hence we are not prone to make the same mistakes. The journey of the Israelites is quite familiar to all of us. It is an account of a nation, a people who wandered for 40 years. And if there is one major lesson we should learn from this Israel Exodus, is that movement does not necessarily mean progress. I repeat, movement does not necessarily mean progress. In all our daily activities, we are moving. Whatever you can think about, we are moving. But are we making progress? This biblical account reminds us of the consequences of stagnation. Here we see a journey that should have taken the Israelites 14 days, eventually took them 40 years. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 13, our Bible tells us, "So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the entire generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord had come to an end." God was disgusted with them, and He instilled wandering as a punishment. Today, we seem to get disgusted with ourselves, and we allow situations around us to put us into a state of stagnation, put us into a state where there is movement without progress. Let's have a brief recap of the journey of the Israelites. Exodus chapter 1, 8 to 13 tells us how the Israelites multiplied in Egypt. And verse 8 tells us, "Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." Verse 12 tells us, "But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the fields. All their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. This enslavement by the Egyptians went on for a very long time. And even though they were oppressed by the Egyptians, the Israelites still managed to do what they had to do. They continued to increase and multiply." We pick up again the account in Exodus chapter 2. This is long after, years after the birth of Moses and Moses' escape to Midian. And verse 23 in Exodus 2 tells us, "During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God." Verse 24 tells us, "God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them." So even though the
Israelites were in this state, even though they were being oppressed, God was still looking out for them, even though they were disobedient. Exodus chapter 3, verse 9, God is saying, "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God heard the cries of his people, and he sent Moses and Aaron to rescue them. We go on to the story then in Numbers chapter 13, and here it speaks about their arrival in Kadesh Barnea, an area which bordered Canaan, the promised land. But again, we see the Israelites delayed. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And Numbers chapter 13, verse 18 to 25, and it reads, "The spies return after 40 days of exploration, with 10 of them given a negative report. They said, 'We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. All the people we saw are of great size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes.'" Numbers 13, 31 to 33. Only Joshua and Caleb had something positive to say, but they did not believe the report. They believed the report of the doubters, and the people lost heart and rebelled. They raised their voices and wept loud, grumbling again against Moses and Aaron, saying, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to let us fall by the sword?" And then we go on in Numbers chapter 14. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will they refuse to believe me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them?" God is warning the Israelites, all that he has done, all that he continues to do, all he has led them, and they still refuse to believe. And God is saying, "I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them." Moses again interceded for the people and turned the wrath of God away from them. But although God forgave them, he decided that not one of them will ever see the land that he promised on oath to their forefathers. And God said, "No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it." God had promised them victory. God had prepared the way for the victory. The land he commanded them to go to and take was already theirs. They simply had to trust God and obey. But they found difficulty doing this. God will never leave us where his grace cannot provide for us or his power cannot protect us. It's up to us to trust and obey. The Israelites had seen the powerful hand of God at work during the plagues and the many miracles. Yet, like many of us today, they walk by sight and not by faith. And their unbelief displeased God. It's our unbelief or lack of trust in God today in our situations displeasing to him. It's our constant unbelief causing us to stagnate. Yes, like the Israelites, we are busy. We are moving. We are getting involved. We are going through the motions which get us tired. And because we are tired, we feel like we have accomplished something. But here is the stark reality. Some of our movements are equated to a hamster's wheel. We are on a daily motion. It's a business that we have created, but it's a distraction. We are so busy, we have not been hearing the still small voice. We are hearing the many who are complaining of the conditions, and we have missed the voice of the two. We have missed the voice of truth. Hence, we are in a state of stagnation. You may ask me this morning, what exactly is stagnation? The Collins Dictionary defines stagnant as not growing or developing, static. And if we think about it, I will agree that there are times in our lives that we just feel stuck. We just feel static. We're not going forward. We're not going backward. There may be situations in our lives that cause us to feel disconnected, uninvolved. It might be a domestic matter. It might be a personal family matter. It could be a disappointment in our professional or work life. It could be a downturn in our physical health or the physical health of a loved one. It could be a church-related incident. It could be a child, or it could just be our feeling that we've been praying so long and so hard and God is not answering. Yes, I understand. All of us can feel like we're in this static position at some time, like we're stagnated. But God wants to warn us this morning. He wants to warn me. He wants me to warn us. It is not healthy for us to remain in this situation spiritually. Then we easily become weary. We begin to lose hope. We get really sensitive. And sometimes we get to that state where it doesn't matter anymore. We just lose our interest. We lose our joy. And we don't realize we've been stagnant. We're not moving. And we have to be very careful, because very often we can see things in others when we have the same problems. And the Bible warns us about that, that we should be quick to identifying something in another's person. In Matthew 7, it says, "Do not judge or you will be judged." It says, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and you can't see the plank in your own eye?" Today, we are not looking at others. Today is a time for introspection. We need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves some serious questions, some questions that only we alone can answer. Am I in a position like the Israelites? Have I been wandering? How long have I been wandering? When last did I have a progressive movement in my spiritual life? When last I felt spiritual change in my life? When last have I truly felt satisfaction in doing the things I do in my ministry? Stagnation may not be that easy to admit or to identify, because as I said earlier, the scheme of things, we keep doing things. We are busy. We are still involved. We are still on the move. We're still leading worship. We're still reading the scripture lesson. We're still on the worship team. Is our movement progressive? Even in our daily lives, we can be busy all day. Some of us are busy from the time we wake up till time to go to bed. Don't get time to read the word. Don't get time to have a good conversation with our Father. We are on the proverbial hamster's wheel. Have you ever seen a hamster's wheel? It just keeps going and going and going. The hamster seems to be getting out of wind, but he can't stop because the wheel compels him to keep going. This is the plan of the enemy. He doesn't want to totally disable us, knock us off the hamster's wheel and we're sick. But he keeps us on the hamster's wheel. It's a safe place where we feel comfortable doing something. Every 5 minutes we are busy. So busy, we don't realize our movements are misguided. They're misdirected. They're totally non-productive. But we are still moving. We are being under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y. The hamster's wheel keeps us moving, keeps us under Satan's yoke, and it's difficult to get off. Even in our personal lives, we get comfortable in our movements, so much so we have not realized how much time we have spent in that position. We are in a debt situation, a debt hamster's wheel. And you said, as soon as I get out this debt, I'm going to jump off the hamster's wheel. And we get out of that debt and we are back on the hamster's wheel into another debt, and we are spinning and we are spinning. We are in a job and we leave the job because we have to encounter some non-Christian principles and it's hindering our progress. So we jump off that hamster's wheel, and guess what? We jump into another job situation where it's another hamster's wheel. where we're just going and going and moving and moving. We're not making any progress. Busy, busy, never achieving. I want to encourage all of us today, as the preparation of this did encourage me, we need to take time out. We need to ask God through His Holy Spirit to show us how we are being used. The enemy wants to keep us busy, so he would misguide our steps. He would want us to make steps in the wrong direction. He wants us to make steps that are out of sequence, and he will want us to make steps at the wrong time. We must always be conscious. Any movement we make must be divinely led towards the building up of God's kingdom, towards accomplishing our mission here on this earth. We are indeed in the last days. We cannot afford to be caught on the hamster's wheel. We have a powerful and an influential weapon against the enemy: prayer. The enemy will assign forces to fragment our focus, to derail our assignment, and to distort our effectiveness. He knows that we have the potential to do great damage to his kingdom, and that's why we are his special target. That's why he wants us to be on the hamster's wheel, so we are misguided by our movement. I just want to mention one more instruction from Deuteronomy 2, and it reads, "Then we turned around and headed back across the wilderness towards the Red Sea, just as the Lord had instructed me, and we wandered around in the region of Mount Seir for a long time. Then at last, the Lord said to me, 'You have been wandering around this hill country long enough. Turn to the north.'" I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you know that you have been stagnating long enough. You know you have been on the hamster's wheel, looking busy, real busy, working up a sweat, getting tired. God is saying to us this morning, you have been wandering on this hamster's wheel long enough. Enough is enough. Stop it. Get off. Turn to the north. I don't know where your north is this morning, but God is calling us. Get off the hamster's wheel. Enough is enough. I invite you to listen to this song by a familiar Jonathan MacReynolds, and it's one of my favorite songs. And the word says, "Didn't I conquer this last year? Tell me what I miss, because I fear that it's coming back up again. Must be something I ate, some song, some show, some hate. The devil wants to extend the game, free throws, and then it ends. He wants to make the sequel. Because if he has another chance, he feels like he can take my joy, my peace, my faith. See, the devil, he learns from your mistakes, even if you don't. That's how he keep you in cycles, cycles, cycles. But I'm not going in cycles. God bless you."
In the game, free throws, and when it ends, he wants to make the sequel. 'Cause if he has another chance, he feels like he can take my joy, my peace, my faith. See, the devil, he learns from your mistakes, even if you don't. That's how he keeps you in cycles, 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 cycles. But I'm not going in cycles, 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 cycles. This will end like I wanted to. To lose again. See, I'm a different fighter now, and I have got to think, 'cause his joy is my strength. See, the devil will learn some mistakes.